G'day wherever you are around the world, and thank you for joining us once again. It is time for the Cultured Kara Eyed on truth2u.org. That's truth number two, letter U, dot org, where you can sign up for the weekly newsletter. You can also keep up to date via iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. I'm Jono, and joining me is Kani and the Cultured Kara Eyed. G'day, Devorah.
G'day. How are y'all doing?
Doing well. Thank you. And Kani, how are you?
Pretty good.
Glad to have you both back on the program.
Yeah.
And it's been a little while since we spoke last, Dev.
Oh, Honey's been on a big adventure.
She's been on a big adventure over in Israel.
Yeah. She has.
Still coming, down from it, really.
I bet. I bet you're still, you know, things haven't totally soaked in for you yet.
No. Still processing the whole experience.
Actually, you haven't even had time to really process the whole experience. Because as soon as she got back, she had to start a 3,000-word essay. And as soon as she's finished that one, she has to start another 3,000-word essay. And then by that time, Dev, she'll be finished. She'll be on holidays. We're hoping to go and visit her father up in Queensland. So that's a couple of weeks. Then, believe me, there'll be a lot of processing going on there.
Right. Oh, wow. That's cool.
Well, actually, we're going to my university on the way up and meeting with my professor. So talking about the whole dig and everything with them. And
yes, that's when I get to speak like this. And I get to sound very intelligent and get to talk about archaeology.
You know what? So please don't.
Do tell.
Please don't do that.
So you're a lecturer at the local university, are you? That's marvelous.
Sorry, my husband couldn't join us. He's in the car.
That's funny.
Oh, you guys. And so, what's so funny is, to me as an American, you already sound more intelligent because of your accent. But you can make it even more intelligent sounding. That's amazing.
I can be even more intelligent. Wow. There is no end to the intelligence that oozes from my accent. Should I choose to use it? Anyway. What are we talking about today, Dev? What is the topic for today? What have you brought for us?
Replacement theology.
Ooh.
Okay.
Let me put my accent back on then.
Actually, I'm kidding, but I bet I got everybody's attention anyway. I want to talk about replacement food. You know, it's really kind of distressing me. I get some emails, but I also, you know, see a lot of people on the internet as a whole, you know, talking about coming away from grains and coming away from sugar. But unfortunately, what I see and what scares me is people going into gluten-free foods or lots and lots and lots and lots of fruit. And I think both of those things are, I think they can be dangerous, and especially the gluten-free products, products that are made with rice starch, tapioca starch, corn starch, potato starch, you know, some of those kinds of things that are going to keep a person's insulin level, you know, way high. Matter of fact, I looked up some gluten-free breads on the internet, and they had a higher glycemic index and load than regular bread.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So basically, you're saying that they're replacing one problem with another.
I think so. And you know, I think that they think it's healthy. I think that, and I believe that, you know, marketing and, you know, slick advertising and those kinds of things make people think, you know, that these things are not bad. That after all, they're gluten free, and so, you know, I can replace my regular bread with a piece of gluten free bread. But I think that it's dangerous. I personally think it's dangerous without people really investigating for themselves, you know, what the glycemic, you know, loads are. And are these things just, you know, slick advertising, slick marketing? You know, we talked about that before with agave nectar, you know, with sugars and things. They're talking about this new coconut sugar and agave nectar. And those are just, you know, bad sugars with good advertising and good marketing. And I think that the gluten-free things, the gluten-free industry is the same way.
While you're talking about that, Dev, I'm thinking of, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking of what Kani buys when she goes to the grocery store, because she prefers to be gluten-free. But Kani, you don't buy the, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe you buy anything that is sort of prepackaged, quote unquote, gluten-free. I mean, if there was a gluten-free aisle or the section in the supermarket that is gluten-free, the pre-made products, you don't buy them, right?
No, I generally try not to, and that's mostly because I do read labels, and the gluten-free things have just got so many more ingredients in them and numbers and all sorts of things, and so I just tend to try to avoid that.
So generally speaking, it's not obviously the ingredients so much, but you mentioned the numbers. There's a whole lot of quote-unquote ingredients that go by numbers, and when you look those numbers up, they're not necessarily food, Dev, and
right.
they fall into the category of food replacement, and that's the reason why, primarily the reason why you don't buy gluten-free products, but you buy gluten-free whole foods. You eat things, Carney, that are just naturally gluten-free. Is that have I got that right?
Well, I think Dev will attest to this as well. What we're actually trying to do more and more is moving away from processed food and just going back to the way food was designed to be eaten. So instead of having your apple crisp in the packet, eat an apple, you know,
sure.
that sort of thing. Sure. But I mean, I think by sounds of things, what you're saying, Dev, is that a lot of the time these gluten-free foods being marketed as gluten-free foods are, look, you know, you can't eat gluten, so here is an alternative for you. But they're often full of sugars and carbohydrates and things that are actually going to spike people's insulin levels. So it's actually not it's causing more of a problem for those on the diabetic.
Sure. So as you said, it's replacing one problem with the other. But this is. I mean, now I wouldn't know. I'm not. I don't have a gluten intolerance, but I do recall speaking to someone who did. And this is not you, Khani. This is when we the previous town that we lived in, and I remember having a conversation with someone, and they said to me that they kind of conveyed, Dev, that once they had pinpointed that they had a gluten intolerance, felt like they were confined to this one section of the supermarket, this one, you know, the gluten-free section. This is now their diet, and this is what they can choose from. But as I just pointed out, a lot of it is pre-packaged, pre-processed, multiple ingredients, not necessarily good for you, and not necessarily food. And people don't think. Is it the case that a lot of people who have gluten intolerances don't think outside of that section of the supermarket?
Well, it could be. And in Texas, we have a saying for this kind of thing. It's like putting lipstick on a pig. I mean, really, you know, you're talking about leaving bread behind, which, you know, I personally think people should do. But for some reason, and I think this is a mindset, and that's what you're talking about, Jono, is these people's mindset is that they're in their mind, they have to have that piece of bread. So they're going to get this gluten-free bread, which actually, as it turns out, it is worse for them. There's a gluten-free multi-grain bread called Country Life that has a glycemic index of 79, and stone ground whole wheat bread has a glycemic index of 59. So you're shooting your blood sugar, you know, way higher with this gluten-free bread, and you're actually going to cause more problems than the gluten gave you in the first place.
Right.
And for some reason, and I can't explain this, but when Zev and I started out and we said, okay, no more bread, we didn't look for a replacement for bread. We just said we're going to enjoy other foods. We didn't, for some reason, you know, having a replacement. In other words, we thought, well, we'll have a sandwich, but we'll put it between two lettuce leaves, or we'll just put the ingredients of the sandwich on our plate and eat it with a fork.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it never dawned on us that we should or that we would try to replace bread.
Right.
We didn't think that way, and so maybe that's thinking out of the box. I don't know.
I really think it is, Dev, because I mean the Western society is so revolves around bread. It just does. I mean, when we have a meal, there's the bread, and the sandwich is like the fast food. It's like, well, it's quickly put a sandwich together, and we can eat that, and everything revolves around bread.
Do you know what?
But even for
I'm going to go back. I have to interrupt because I have to go back to the first thing that you said, Dev. And that was that we're going to talk about replacement theology, because what you just described, it reminded me of a conversation that I had at a previous radio station where I worked, and I was doing Truth to You. And one of the managers of the radio station had gotten cranky at me. She was a scripture teacher, Church of England scripture teacher, veteran of 20 years. And she was quite put out about what I had said on a particular program in regards to Easter and Christmas. And I said, well, what is it that's upset you? And she said to me, she goes, don't you know that we have to Christianize those days so we don't have to do the pagan thing anymore? And I thought, wow, that's amazing, because in your mind, in this person's mind, it was either we do it we do these days with a Christian veneer, or we do the pagan days, but there is no not doing of the days. That's not an option. It's either you do the pagan thing or you replace it with something else that is similar, but there's no not doing it. And it blew my mind. I had to think about that for ages, because I thought, how many people do think like that? And now you've just brought it all back to me, because it really was bewildering. Now you brought it back to me, because now there's people, you're saying a lot of people think the same way when they think of, when they realize there are certain foods that they have an intolerance to, or certain foods that they need to cut down on, certain foods that they need to stop eating because it's having an adverse reaction, whatever it may be. But they don't think, I'll just stop doing it, it's not good for me. They think, in what way can I replace this? In what way can I dress this up? In what way can I, as you say, what way can I put lipstick on a pig so yep. that I can still have this? And it doesn't really occur to them to just not do it.
Right, right. And that's, you know, that's so, it's so detrimental. It's so detrimental when you don't, you know, try to start changing your mindset about something. And honestly, this applies to fruit as well. Now, I know I'm going to get some argument about fruit, because definitely fruit is good for you. I'm not saying that. And I hope nobody misunderstands me on this issue. But if you have, you know, as much as 3 and 4 cups of fruit a day, which would be, you know, say 4 pieces, four half cup to cup servings of fruit a day, that's too much. Mm-hmm. And you're going to affect your blood sugar with that much fruit. And I see people give their smoothie recipes, and I think to myself, that's not a smoothie, that's dessert.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just loading up on fruit and not understanding that you really should only have 2 pieces of fruit a day. And you should have loads of fresh vegetables. But when it comes to fruit, you do still have to be careful. You just can't load yourself up on that much fruit and expect. And I've had people write to me and say, you know, I'm having some issues. I don't feel so good. I'm having bloating and that, you know, and they'll say, I'm having my kefir smoothie. And I say, what's in it? And yeah. they load it up with fruit. And it's like, well, hello, you know, you've got your kefir trying to coat your stomach with good bacteria. You've got your high sugar fruits that are, and I'm talking, you know, fruits like bananas, especially bananas and, you know, peaches and things like that. And they're feeding any bad bacteria you've got. And there's a big war going on in there because you've, you know, put way too much fruit in and you're feeding the bad bacteria. The good bacteria is trying to take over. And you've got this, you know, absolute, you know, war going on. And so, you know, you've got to cut down on the fruit. We only use about 4 large strawberries, and then we use red kale. We've really been enjoying some spinach and red kale lately. Mm-hmm. It's a great way in your smoothie to get extra vegetables. But you can't load up on fruit throughout the day and expect, you know, very good results, because it's going to feed any bad bacteria. And if you're doing the kefir, then it's battling, you know, for good. It's bound to cause some issues.
Sure. This makes me think of, you know, how we've all jumped on the juice bandwagon as well. And we've been juicing, as well as having the kefir smoothies And it didn't take us long to realize. I mean, because we've spoken about reprogramming your taste buds before, and how when you start having more fermented foods and more kefir and things like that, you reprogram your taste buds and reducing your sugar levels. And so things begin to naturally taste sweet when you reduce your sugar intake. And it became very apparent to me when we started juicing, because carrots, you can't have too many carrots. I mean, just lots and lots of carrot juice, great stuff, you know. But trying to find that balance of how many apples will we put in with our carrot juice. And we figured one apple in 1 liter of carrot juice makes it nice and sweet, makes it quite sweet. If you put 2 or 3 in there, I found now that we have such a much lower sugar intake, it's incredibly sweet.
Right, right.
It's like syrup. It's too
sweet. It's like it's syrupy sweet.
That's right. Well, and that's the thing. You know, we know that how our taste buds have changed. And, you know, anybody that's beginning, you know, this journey, their taste buds, you know, haven't changed. And so they're really, you know, wanting that sweet. But the thing is to understand that you really need to kind of tough it out in the beginning and, you know, get used to less and less and less, because this is just, it sets up a bad situation. You think you're doing something healthy for yourself, but you're taking in gluten products that are actually higher in glycemic, you know, index and load on your body, and then you're overdoing it with fruit, which is not good, and it can cause, you know, many of the same issues. I did come across, you know, we've talked about high blood sugar for diabetes and, you know, all the different things, but I ran across an Australian study that kind of set me back on my ear, that high blood sugar now is linked to brain shrinkage.
Wow.
I read something about that, yeah.
Yeah, it's an Australian study of nearly 250 non-diabetic men and women found those with high blood sugar levels, now these are non-diabetic people, tended to have shrinking brain areas linked to memory and emotional processing. The results held up even after controlling for lifestyle factors such as smoking and weight. So this is another thing where some of these things are affecting our brains. You know, we've talked about, you know, Alzheimer's and mm-hmm. you know, eating a healthier diet has proven in a lot of cases. But more and more, sugar is being linked to Alzheimer's, and of course diabetes is being linked to dementia and Alzheimer's. It just all becomes a snowball effect. And so I just want to make a suggestion to people, if they absolutely, you know, feel like they need some kind of, you know, something like a piece of bread, would be to make something with coconut flour or almond meal flour. And those things are protein, and they're gluten-free, they're very high in protein, very high in fiber. And if you happen to end up putting, you know, until you're getting used to using things like stevia, if you're putting a little bit of sugar in, at least the protein content, because those things have to have a lot of eggs in order to make them work. Like if you're going to make, say, coconut flour pancakes, which we do about once a month. We love the coconut flour pancakes with some sweet kefir cheese on top. But you put so many eggs in that's going to ensure that you've got enough protein in it that the sugar's not going to affect your blood sugar or your insulin spike as much when you've got a good protein intake with it. So, I would suggest that people investigate coconut flour and almond flour and get away from these things of rice starch and potato starch and tapioca starch and corn starch and, you know, those kinds of things that all are going to, you know, just really, really, really shoot the insulin levels way high. And to really, you know, get back down to 2 pieces of fruit a day to, you know, to really watch your fruit intake and keep it at a what's really considered a normal level. You know, don't have dessert with every single meal.
So, Dev, what types of fruit do you know of the fruits that are better in this regard than others?
Yeah, well, definitely berries. Berries are awesome to have, but you really only need or should have about a half a cup, you know, as what's called a serving. You know, I don't know about Australia, but in America, nobody has an idea about what servings are these days. You know, they're just huge, you know, these big platefuls of things. And that's actually not, you know, not true. You would want to have an apple that's about the size of a tennis ball. That's a serving. Those great big, sometimes you go in the store and these apples are just huge. They're almost a tennis ball and a half or two tennis balls. And so those are, you know, I always try to pick the smaller, and the green apples, you know, have less sugar in them than the red apples.
I didn't know that.
So that's the green apples are really good. So that's what we usually buy, are those little, the small green apples. Now, I do get some apples in when apple season comes, but I get those and I make my fermented applesauce out of them. And I don't add any sugar because they're so sweet. That's another thing I read, that, you know, we've talked about this so much, that fruits and vegetables now, you know, have been changed quite a bit. And a lot of these are grown now these days to be sweeter. And I read an article that said if we ate an ancient apple, we probably wouldn't even like it.
Wow. It's probably in the same sort of way as the wheat is now grown to have gluten.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, well, I suppose sweet is what people want. And so if you can engineer them and grow them to be sweeter, then that's what's going to sell. So you reckon, so the green, I didn't know that. So green ones have less sugar. Okay.
Yeah, and they're really good. You know, I guess it takes a little bit of getting used to, but you know, once you do, it's really going to be, you know, enough sweet for you. You know, that's for sure. Matter of fact, you know, we just finished in Israel. The rabbinic people had Rosh Hashanah,
and one of the apples.
Yeah, the honey on, and I was like, ew.
Yeah,
I was like, "Oh no!"
I imagine dipping a piece of apple into honey. It's so sweet. Funny. Anyway,
it hurt my teeth. You know,
I know because that's so funny because I looked at all those pictures on Facebook and I went, "Oh, how do you eat that?" It's like, but I suppose I guess a lot of people look at that and go, "Mmm, yummy," you know, because that's good stuff, but. But yeah, you do when you, like you say, Dev, when you go hard to begin with and just deprive yourself and get your, and reprogram your taste buds, and eventually you look at things like that and you go, I couldn't do it. I don't know why you would.
Well,
way too much at once.
This is the thing. I mean, sugar, I mean, you know, Jono, that I have a bit of an issue with sugar and I deal with it. I'm pretty good now, but I used to eat a lot of sugar and I would think, I don't need a lot of sugar, but it was just part of my, that's just what I did. It's just,
she had a lot of sugar.
I had a lot of sugar and not just, you know, not just sprinkled sugar in everything. Like every meal would have sugar in it. And when I really analyzed it, every meal would have some sort of sweetness in it. And it's an addiction and my body was craving it. And so like any addiction, there is a period of cold turkey, but there are some things that you can do to help you through that. And stevia is one good way of getting at least the sweetness. You don't get the hit. But at least the sweetness to help you through until your body starts to purge. It's something I just wanted to go back to something you said about the study, Dev. I find that really intriguing. I think you said that there is some evidence that like thin healthy people are having emotional problems. Is that what you said?
Yeah, because of the. These are non-diabetic men and women that they did the study on.
Yeah.
And the areas were linked to memory and emotional processing.
Right. Now, that is really interesting. And that is attributed to a higher level of sugar in the diet?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. That is really interesting because, and this takes us back to kefir as well, one of the main symptoms of candida, which is the overgrowth of a certain bacteria in the gut and throughout the body, is memory loss, foggy brain, and confusion.
Right. That's exactly right.
And candida lives on sugar.
And it lives on fruit sugar just as much as it lives on, you know. I mean, you have to understand that if you put fruit or a piece of wheat bread or a piece of gluten bread that has this, that's made from this tapioca potato starch thing, you put that on your tongue, your body doesn't know doesn't differentiate. It says, sugar.
That's right.
And it is going to take it and process it, and the things inside your body are going to treat it, no matter where that sugar comes from, as sugar. And you can overload yourself so much more quickly than you understand.
So although you think you may be achieving something solving a problem if you have a gluten intolerance, you may be adding to another problem by resorting to some of these products that are made from these materials, ingredients. Honey, okay, so you have a gluten intolerance. What do you have instead of bread?
What do I have instead of bread? Well, see, this is going back to the replacement thing. So what I have instead of bread is just food. So, you know, you will have your eggs on, and it's just on spelt bread in the morning, where I'll just have my eggs on a bed of baby spinach.
Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah, that's why I have the spinach and eggs. Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. So it's just basically, and if we have, I mean, when I was in Israel, I mean, you know what the pita bread is like there, Dev. It's everywhere. Yeah. And that's, you have your falafel and your pita bread and everything is there. And if I couldn't avoid it, I would just eat it out. I would just eat it out of the pita bread and just use it like a plate and then throw the pita bread away. That was the best I could do, but I mean, just that sort of thing.
From time to time you will reward yourself and us by making little muffins. Hey, you haven't done this for ages now. I'm thinking about it. I'm so busy. No. You used to make the muffins. what happened to the muffins? You used to make the muffins, and now I'm thinking of them, and it's been ages.
Because I'm like, you know, I've been eating, and I'm so busy, and
She used to make muffins all the time, and they were made from the coconut flour, the almond flour, berries, and kefir. Is that right?
No, they're coconut flour. Almond. Either almond flour or coconut flour. But I mean, we really like the almond flour. So almond flour and eggs and blueberries, and they're yum yum yum.
Eggs, and
sweetness is maple syrup.
Well, and I just recently made a pan of brownies. I found a brownie recipe, and I was really shocked at this recipe. And one of the things I was shocked at, and I'm going to post it when we play this show, I'm going to post it on Facebook and on the website. But this recipe calls for 1 3/4 cups of sugar in this brownie recipe. Yeah. Well, I fixed it.
Was this for an army of 40 people or?
I couldn't believe it when I read it, but this was not from a necessarily healthy book. It was, you know, their point was making it gluten free, but I made the brownies with almond flour, and it calls for like 4 eggs and the almond flour. But what's interesting is that I used 1/2 cup of dark brown organic sugar, because I thought, you know, for this big 13x9, you know, pan of brownies, 1/2 cup of sugar is not that much. And so I'm going to say that that's okay. And you know, y'all know this too, because we all are, you know, a year down the line with this eating healthy, you can have something from time to time, as long as you don't overdo it, that has sugar in it, and it doesn't affect you because you're only having like 1 piece a day. Mm-hmm. So I went ahead and made these brownies. And of course, Zev is so much, you know, he's thinner than me. He's very, very physically active. So he burns his food up real good. So sugar doesn't affect him like it does me. Mm-hmm. So and he loves chocolate. So I made this and I couldn't believe that the only thing I changed was from this 1 3/4 cups of sugar to 1/2 cup of sugar. And I used the dark brown sugar because it's a little richer. Mm-hmm. And they were awesome. They were just amazingly good. So I'm going to post that recipe.
Okay. And just a reminder, everybody, it is culturedkaraite.blogspot.com. Culturedkaraite.blogspot.com is the website where you can find these recipes of Dev's. And while we're talking about chocolate, because, I mean, come on, we're not really suggesting. I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there, particularly in the messianic world, who say you cannot have chocolate. In fact, just in the health genre, they say chocolate, bad, cross it out, can't have it, bad for you, can't do it. I'm aware of that. I'm going to break the rule. I'm going to say, because, and I'm not suggesting that you, because finding a chocolate, I mean, there is, let's face it, Dev, is there an alternative to chocolate?
Oh, no, no, no. I made chocolate. I made it with stevia. I posted it on Facebook. The recipe is there. Actually, Dr. Mercola and another research person, they came out with this great research that chocolate is indeed good for you. Of course, the sugar's not. Mm-hmm. Dr. Mercola has had a video on the same big article explaining how good chocolate is for you. Mm-hmm. And he made this chocolate with raw cocoa butter and raw cacao. I should say raw cacao butter and raw cacao powder. And he used stevia and another sweetener, but I used just stevia. I made the chocolate. It turned out phenomenal. We just absolutely loved it. It is a dark chocolate, so, you know, it's not like a Hershey bar or, mm-hmm. you know, anything like that. You have to get used to that more dark chocolate taste. But it turned out delicious, and I put them in little molds, and it's all on Facebook. You can go see the recipe and how pretty they turned out. I put nuts in some and coconut in some, and I put, you know, mint extract in some to make it chocolate mint. Mm-hmm. So I think that you should enjoy cocoa, and especially according to these studies that were published, it is good for you.
And it is chocolate is high in antioxidants. And
yes.
And the thing that I found, this is how I justify chocolate for myself. I don't want to replace chocolate, and I don't want to be without chocolate. There is no replacement chocolate, and I don't want to be without it. But what I do know is that I don't have a sweet tooth anymore. And just conventional chocolate that you buy in the supermarket is really, really super sweet, just your normal milk chocolate. For me, can't do it. If I can find, and our supermarket does supply, I think it's an 85% cocoa. Is that what it is, honey? Okay. It's like 85% dark chocolate, organic dark chocolate, or a good quality dark chocolate. And the other thing about chocolate is that it is acidic, and you don't want to have too many sugary acidic things, but you want to keep your pH level down from being acidic, because all sorts of issues arise from that. So the way that I justify that is that, and I think I've mentioned this on the program before, but it cannot be mentioned enough because it's so great, is that I take a square of really good quality dark chocolate, and I eat it with you know, half a handful of almonds, and almonds, of course, are alkaline. And if that is not, I mean, to be honest, Dev, I'm surprised that God didn't create almonds already coated with chocolate.
You know what? They've probably been lost in history.
They were probably in the Garden of Eden. They were probably in the Garden of Eden, I just think that's the best way to do it, because, as you know, again, dark chocolate, antioxidants, very good.
Yes.
But and you know, people don't have too much of it, but eat your dark chocolate with half a handful of almonds, really good for you.
That's right.
And when you have that protein, that's going to keep the insulin spike from being so harmful.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And these sort of taste experiences you don't get until you get off the sugar, and then when you've been off it for a while, you can start to really, really enjoy this stuff, because it's, you know, you're not getting that sugar hit, and you don't need all of that stuff, and so you can really taste chocolate.
That's right. Mm. Yeah. And it's amazing. It is and it loses that bitterness that, you know, a year ago, dark chocolate tasted bitter to me. Now that 70% or 85% bars, they do not taste bitter to me now, which is amazing.
No, that's right. And you can really savor it and really enjoy it.
Do you know what? We did try, and we did persist with, for a little while, replacement pasta. And let me just take the opportunity to say, there is something wrong, very, very wrong with replacement pasta.
I don't agree.
It's
not right.
No, it's not right. It's got all sorts of things.
It's rice. It doesn't have all sorts of things in it. It's just rice pasta.
Yeah, it's
you just don't like it. That's
not pasta. It's just not.
You know, but that's interesting because we've been in a situation once or twice just in the last few months where pasta was put before us and, you know, we kind of, you know, sucked it up and went ahead and had a few bites. And do you know, it tastes like pasty cardboard to me now. It tastes terrible to me now. I used to love macaroni and cheese. It just tastes nasty to me now. Just give me the cheese. You know, I'll eat the cheese, but leave the macaroni out of it. If you'd ever told me I didn't like macaroni and cheese, oh my gosh.
I do like the you know, your good quality egg pasta, you know, cooked just right, not so that it's all soggy and, you know, waterlogged, but with just a little bit of bite to it and the olive oil and garlic, oh come on, and tomato, it's just so great.
I do a lot of the cooking. I mean, actually, you're really good at pasta, and you should do that if that's what you want to do. Because I mean, I look at pasta and I just go stomach ache.
Well, if you're gluten free, you can't do it, obviously. And if there is issues because we've spoken about modern wheat and all of that before as well. But and I think we have also mentioned the squash spaghetti.
That's good.
We only just discovered that. What was it, the beginning of the year, honey?
Actually, we discovered it sort of right at the end of the season. So I'm looking forward to the next season.
Getting those again because they're delicious and they're an excellent supplement.
That's really good.
That's good stuff. Veggies are good. So, hey, now, Dev, when we're talking about replacement food, if there's things that we've been eating, you know, it comes out of the factory and it's all processed and all that, it's just part of your regular diet, and people will say, well, I guess that's got to go. And what you're saying is don't replace all of these things with apples and bananas and other fruits. But can we replace any of these processed foods that we've been eating with vegetables, just your you know, like a zucchini or a pumpkin or I mean, is there any harm in just building more vegetables into your diet? There's no problem there, right?
Oh, not at all. We've replaced pizza with a cauliflower crust pizza that Hani made first. That's just phenomenal. We love that. And it's easy to, you know, that's, to me, that's one of those meals that's real, real easy to fix because I keep the beef, the ground beef, I keep it cooked and then I freeze it in a bag so that I just get a little bit out whenever I need it. And I also, if I get onions and they're just about, you know, I'm not using them as quickly as I thought I would, I go ahead and chop them up and I freeze them. And so I've got chopped onions. I've got my beef that's already cooked and I can throw together a cauliflower crust pizza very, very quickly. Nice. And, you know, put the tomato sauce on it. And then my beef and my onions are right there and, you know, get that in the oven. And that's a delicious meal. My husband loves that one.
That's a winner. So it's safe. Yep. It's safe to add more veggies into your diet, obviously.
And you're replacing it with
things that are processed, honey.
Oh no, I was just going to say about vegetables, and you mentioned zucchini. And zucchini just pan fried in a little bit of butter with a little bit of garlic.
Oh, it is. And cabbage.
Delicious. And cabbage too.
You could live on that.
But specifically zucchini because it is sweet. I swear.
It's so sweet.
It is sweet. Yes.
Yes. Mm. We eat it. That's what I make it for dessert. I put almonds, sliced almonds in it. And I use a lot of butter, not a little butter, and those sliced almonds, and we have it for dessert.
Wow. Yeah,
it is delicious.
It is delicious. It is delicious. And these are all things that all of a sudden a whole new world has opened up to you when you're not eating such processed, sugary, processed sugar, basically.
Mm. Because, and you're not confined to the gluten-free aisle.
Because there is sweetness in the food that Yehovah created for us. We just have to retrain our taste buds to find that again, and it is exceptional.
Amen.
It is, yeah. It's something to be attained, that's for sure.
It is. So when you're getting off foods that you have adverse reactions to that aren't necessarily good for your health, that maybe are processed and have too many ingredients and you don't know what the numbers mean and you don't know how to pronounce it, when you're getting off those things, think twice before you quote-unquote replace them. What are you replacing them with and how is that going to affect your body? Maybe a vegetable alternative is the safer way to go. Does that sum it up, Deb?
That sums it up. That's a good
Sounds
deal.
Good.
Sometimes I feel like the party pooper. Oh, here she goes again. I can't have this. I can't have that. You know, and I don't mean to be like that, but I want everybody to be in the very, very, very best health that they can be. That's so important.
And unfortunately, and this is just the way it goes, and sometimes we hear this stuff and we're healthy and we're happy. And I don't have a problem with sugar or anything, and everything is fine. And then you hit an age where your body doesn't cope so well, and all of a sudden,
and I'm there.
I've been there too. And you have to make changes. You just have to. But the fact of the matter is, it's really not all that bad. You're not going to. It's not the end of enjoying food.
It's only the
beginning.
Amen. It is the beginning. When I was in my 30s, I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. And now I'm in my early 60s, and my whole thought process is completely different. When I was in my 30s, I was going to live forever. Now that I'm in my early 60s, I want to add many years, and I want those years to be very big quality years.
Right.
Because this is honestly, I can say this in all truthfulness, this is the best time of my life. I wouldn't go back for anything on all the different, phases of my life. This is the absolute best time of my life. And it wouldn't be if I weren't in excellent health. It would not be. And if I didn't have good health to look forward to, if I only had, worsening health to look forward to, that would be different. But I know now that you how to add years to your life.
That's
and
right.
Quality to those years.
You found
Amen.
The key, and this is the key. And Amen. Amazingly, it's just eating what we were designed, the way our bodies were designed
yes.
to eat and to process food.
Eating what our creator's given us. He knows.
That's right. He didn't make any mistakes. He knew exactly what our bodies needed.
Amen. Now, listen, before we go, Deb, last time we spoke, we were speaking about magnesium. We were speaking about the circadian rhythm,
yes.
Sleeping patterns, metabolism, things like that. Do you want to give us a quick update before we disappear?
Yeah, I got to be honest. I haven't been doing the circadian rhythm thing as well as I would like. And quite honestly, I did it really well for two or three weeks and lost weight. I lost up to 5 pounds actually by doing that for about 3 weeks, and then you know how life happens, and I actually went on recently this road trip with Zev. He had to deliver in Macon, Georgia, which is a 16-hour drive, and we had to drive it we had to stop for gas, but it was an emergency delivery, and we had to deliver in 16 hours.
Wow.
When, I was driving or he was driving, and he was sleeping or I was sleeping in order to, get that job done. And boy, you talk about messing me up, for my circadian rhythm. The time is going to change here in the United States in another month, in November. So that's going to kind of mess me up again. It's hard to do it because it cuts down on the hours you're able to work. So I will say that it's been very difficult, and I'm not sure that I'm going to be effective. But as far as the magnesium goes, we are just doing so well on the magnesium, and I'm getting reports from people that are doing well on it, and people who are saying, I listened to the show. I think I may have this issue or that issue. I'm going to start on the magnesium. And because magnesium, gets into your system right away, if it is going to affect you positively, you are able to feel that in a day or two. It's not something that takes months and months. If you really are deficient in magnesium, which most people are, you're going to be able to have that good positive impact on your body pretty quickly.
That's right. So what I have found, once again, when we started taking more magnesium, larger magnesium intake, around the same time, Deb, when you suggested, I can say better sleep
yes.
and just a calmer disposition all around, I think.
Yes,
I agree. That's
for me too. My daughter actually has been had been having some over the last 2 years some kidney stone issues, and she's only 33 years old. Mm-hmm. And come to find out, and no doctor ever told her this. What we've actually done is kind of a trial and error thing. She began the magnesium, and she's also taking the magnesium orally, and she's also using the magnesium oil. And they kept telling her that, you know, her body was dumping a lot of calcium and that this was causing the kidney stones and all that. Well, she's continued to go for checkups and go for this testing because they like to repeat the testing. It's a certain kind of testing that they do that's over the course of a 2-day situation. And she's not, her body's not dumping calcium like it was.
Wow.
And the reason it's not is because her magnesium is at the level, you know, now that it needs to be. And so it's handling, you know, because magnesium affects calcium, vitamin D, it affects just almost every process in our body. And she's getting very good and positive reports now.
And
they're not asking her, you know, if she's doing anything different. And nobody ever mentioned to her magnesium supplementation. Nobody.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They wanted her to take a pill the rest of her life. They did have as it turned out, she's 33 years old and has borderline low blood pressure. And the medicine for the kidney stones the doctor wanted her to take, which she never had it filled, was a blood pressure medicine that would have driven her blood pressure even lower. And he told her that because of her situation, she would have to take it the rest of her life. And she's already reversing that situation with magnesium alone, which is, you know, dirt cheap, you know, certainly compared
to them. She almost became an investor in the pharmaceutical industry.
Yes. That's exactly.
Wow. Well, let's hope that she continues to improve and that continues to have a positive impact on her life.
You know how it is. You know, you spoke about Bridget. When these kids see their body or their face or whatever it is, when they actually see the changes, because my daughter has cystic acne too, or I should say she did. She doesn't anymore because of the kefir. When they start seeing those positive changes, you know, it really spurs them on.
It sure does.
You know, hard to get them started a little bit, but you know, here my daughter is like, she said, "Do you know how many thousands of dollars is this going to save me?" You know, and I said, "Yeah, I do." You know, and how many people out there, you know, have issues that are just as simple as magnesium supplementation, and they don't even know it.
Yeah.
So true. Nothing like positive results to motivate you.
Yeah.
So that's what we want. We want our listeners to try it, try these things, and see the results. It doesn't take long, and to be spurred on to do more. So, Dev, thank you for coming back onto Truth to You and sharing with us what's on your heart and the latest experiments you've been doing. Isn't it interesting how, you've proven really that the modern Western lifestyle is adverse to our body clock.
It really is.
It affects
our stress level, which affects our adrenal glands, which affects makes people overweight. It's a vicious circle in a lot of ways.
And certainly food for thought. You've been listening to Culture Kara Eyed on Truth to You, truth2letteryou.org, and we look forward to speaking to you again, Dev, in the near future. The website is culturedkaraeyed.blogspot.com, culturedkaraeyed.blogspot.com. Also, you will find her on Facebook. If you get on Facebook and put in Cultured Kara Eyed, there she is. Like the page and get involved there. And until next week, dear listeners, be blessed and be set apart by the truth of our Father's Word. Shalom.